Welcome to The Intuitive Customer, where we discuss how you can improve your customer experience and your bottom line. And now, here are your hosts, award-winning influencer and pioneering author of 7 books, Colin Shaw and Professor Ryan Hamilton from Emory University.
There clearly may be somebody out there that's got a product or service that they think that I could genuinely benefit from. I'm sure there is. The difficulty is how in the hell do they contact me? Because the danger is, going back to the theme of this podcast, is I'm ghosting them.
Previously, if we were organizing something like this, you would need to either see the person in person or you would need to call them one at a time. And so I think that as these media become a little bit less personalized, a little bit more distant, more kind of group oriented, it changes the social pressures.
So email, it's like, it's just masses and there's, you know, I wouldn't trust anything on bloody email anymore. But LinkedIn feels a bit more personal. So Ryan, I've had a really interesting situation at work over the last few weeks and I thought we could talk about it.
Great.
Over the last 2 or 3 weeks, what's happened is one of the guys that used to work with us as a virtual assistant had been with us for a couple of years. Suddenly, I haven't heard from him at all. And no matter what I do to try to contact him, I don't get a reply.
So he just disappeared.
Disappeared off the face of the earth. Hmm. And it made me start thinking about things. And then the other day I saw an article that talked about ghosting.
Yes.
And I thought, that's an interesting topic.
Yeah? Yes.
Because I feel I've been ghosted. Yeah. And I started to look into it in a bit more depth. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because I think it actually goes round in circles and comes back on itself.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Have you ever met a ghost that goes round in circles and comes back on themselves before?
Are you thinking of a carousel? Because that's not a ghost. That's a different thing. No, the ghosting is all the rage now. People have been talking about ghosting for a while. It seems like it's kind of an epidemic. This is just now a new way of interacting with people.
So the interesting thing is, isn't it, it's a bit like when people start talking about social media as if it's sort of a new concept. And clearly, social media and the platforms are fairly new in concept. But you think, yeah, but social media is there because we are social animals.
Sure.
So the social part of it hasn't changed. It's human behavior that's been enabled now by technology, you know? And I think ghosting is an interesting topic because it's clearly been enabled more by technology. And when you start thinking about some of the relationships are so dependent, and maybe even the word dependence, wrong word, but enabled by technology. So let's do a Ryan. Yeah. Shall we talk about the definition
Please.
Of ghosting?
Yeah. No, Colin, my heart has been warmed here. Tell us about the theory of ghosting, Colin.
So ghosting is, from what I can understand it, is when you have a relationship with somebody. It could be that you're in a personal relationship with someone and suddenly that individual stops talking to you. Let me use the right word, communicating with you, because mm-hmm. it's not necessarily about talking. It's just obviously one way of doing it. Stop communicating with you. And clearly that's what's happened with this employee as well. And I guess they're not the only employee that would have done that to people, but they're ghosting. Have you had any experience on this?
Not that I can recall. We've all had or heard of this happening in romantic relationships. It's very common to read about situations where, especially with using dating apps, dating platforms, where people will talk for a long time and then go out on a date or two, and then just the other person will disappear. They won't respond to any texts or emails or calls, and then that's it. That's the context that I hear about it the most in, but I know we're going to talk about other contexts as well.
Yeah, so from what I've seen, and when you start to think about it and you go, well, why has an individual ghosted someone? You know, what is it? And I guess it's about they don't want to have that confrontation. They don't want to have that question of, you know, why are you dumping me? I don't know if you know, even know if that's an in phrase. It only goes to show how long it was that I was on the dating market.
Yeah. No, I think that's right. I assume that is the primary motivation, is just avoidance of conflict. And so, and I don't know if that is the part that's enabled by social media more than it has been in the past, because you could always just like stop dating somebody or stop, you know, talking to somebody. Yeah. But a lot of times our previous relationships were rooted more in the physical world. So if you met somebody at work or at school, or, you know, the ways that people meet in a bar, there's a decent chance you're going to run into that person again. And so like just completely disappearing is harder to do. You would need to actually like move to Siberia or something.
Yeah. And that's the part now, of the issue, isn't it?
If a lot of your interactions are online through texting or email or interacting on a website, it's much easier to just not.
But you are likely to see those people, aren't you? Yeah. So whatever social media platform that you've got, I mean, it would mean unfollowing them or whatever it may be, and them not seeing the activity that you're putting in and posting about what you're doing, that individual that has been dumped or whatever else. But it does, let's not just talk about ghosting, because I think that they're the sort of shades of gray, and there's a couple of things that you've said here which I think cut across. So let me tell you something that drives me around the bend, yeah? I, in my private life, I've got a group of friends, particularly guys, okay, where we organize every month, I organize a beer when I'm in England, a beer with the guys, and we always go out for a curry afterwards, okay? And there's a group of about 12 guys, and I send them a message going, and this is over WhatsApp, media doesn't really matter, but quick and easy to respond to, and I go, hey, anybody fancy going out for a beer on the 24th? Okay. I get two or three people reply, and then I don't get replies from other people. And I think to myself, that's just bloody rude. As I started to think about this stuff, I was thinking, are they ghosting me? Now, when you go back to sort of the definition of ghosting, I don't think they are. And I think that in some cases, there are reasons that people don't reply or don't reply immediately, i.e., I don't know, they want to talk to their partner or they're not sure what they're doing on that night or they've got something else. But undoubtedly, there are situations where people just don't reply.
I think it's interesting because my assumption is it's a different motivation. As you said, it's not ghosting. They're not completely cutting off the relationship, but they are also not responding, not communicating, right? But I assume that it's not a matter of avoiding confrontation. Like, I assume that if somebody said, oh, hey, I'm busy that night, like, that's not going to be a major confrontation with you, Colin. So I think it's a different, I mean, you do have a hot temper. We all know this. So it's something else. In that case, I wonder if it's diffusion of responsibility. If you texted one guy and said, hey, Bob, but, you know, you want to go out to dinner next week, I'm going to be in town, I assume Bob would respond. But if you're texting 12 guys, then it's like, oh, enough of the other people will respond. Like, I'll just kind of do it later. I'll kind of like see which way the wind is blowing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think if you extend some of it to the business context, okay. So again, let's assume that you send out a Slack message or whatever it may be going, hey, I think we need to meet up and talk about segmentation. And you get two or three people go, yeah, that's great. You know, I'm free on these dates. And you get then two or three that just don't reply. Same issue. Okay. When I've started to think about it, I've been thinking it's clearly just not important enough for them. Yeah. You know, whether it's in the sort of the social part of it or whether it's in the business part of it, it's clearly just not important enough for them to have a response. Otherwise, they would. To follow on from your point, So what do? I do various different things to provoke them. So I send a message out to, I don't know if there's 12 people, I would send a message out going, great, looks like this date's a really good date. Haven't heard yet back from John or Bert. What do you think? Or everybody else has replied except John. What do you think, John? You know? So you can obviously use the social pressure to get a different response. But I guess the interesting thing when you're starting again, you're talking about this whole area of ghosting, you're thinking, why is it therefore people are not replying? Because it's not important enough. Can you think of another reason?
I mean, again, I think that some of this has to do with the medium of communication. So previously, if we were organizing something like this, you would need to either see the person in person or you would need to call them one at a time. And so I think that as these media become a little bit less personalized, a little bit more distant, more kind of group oriented, it changes the social pressures. It changes, you know, it's not like you would show up at John's door and say, hey, there's a group of us thinking of getting together on the 12th, and John would just stare at you without responding. Being in person demands a response. I think what's interesting more globally about this is it speaks to a change in norms, a change in conversational norms. So a lot of us, when we extend an invitation, or when we are first engaged in relationship, or, you know, as we send out a group Slack message or whatever, we may be holding on to previous norms where we think it's polite for somebody to respond to us when we put forth that effort. The way that relationships are supposed to end is with a face-to-face conversation where somebody says, look, this isn't working for me. But now the medium of communication allows for people to just opt out of that and have a new set of norms, which is like, well, my non-response is a response. You know, the fact that I'm not getting back to you like that, you get that message. I think it's that difficult period of transition as these norms are changing, that's what's causing a lot of the, it may be that in 30 years, ghosting is the way things are done. And like the idea that we would have a conversation about a new relationship, that just seems arcane and bizarre. But now we're in this awkward position where some people think that it should be, some people obviously don't. And I think that's causing a lot of the problem.
I think you raise a good point. If I think back, then with friends that I have asked for things, I still go back to this importance because it's important for me, but clearly not important for the individual that I'm communicating with. And that could be, and I always used to, Lorraine and I used to talk about our parents. And when my dad retired, when you're working, there's 100 things that you've got to do and there's 100 things that you've got to remember. You know, and the top 30 of them are to do with business and various different things like that. And suddenly dad retired and all those things got taken away from him. And so the things that suddenly become much more important were all the things that were, he's not replying to me and stuff like that, you know. So I think that you do have to sort of take that into consideration. I do worry that there is some civility that is being lost.
Yeah.
Okay. And I've said this to people that don't reply. It takes hit reply and no, or stick it in your ear, or stop disturbing me to do things. Ryan, I've always said that anybody can turn around and say they have a great show. But the issue for me is when somebody else tells you that your show is the best.
In that vein, we are pleased to announce that FeedSpot.com has recently named us one of the top 10 podcasts on the web for customer marketing and CX. And we are very grateful.
So if you would like to help a colleague, if you'd like to help one of your friends or even someone you dislike, please tell them to listen to The Intuitive Customer. And that helps us spread the word. Thanks very much. Let me extend the analogy because as you can tell, I've been thinking about this, okay? My son, Ben, I'll put a link in the show notes of this, recently has been on LinkedIn and he made this observation, which I'm sure a number of listeners will relate to. And that is that he put this post up basically saying that he's being contacted by all these people. And he was basically saying, how do they expect me to reply to them? Now, not just because, but because I've got a lot of followers, I've got 283,000 followers, I get a lot of email on LinkedIn, okay? As soon as I see a title on an email to me on LinkedIn that says, or even actually on normal email that says, quick question for you, Colin, okay? I think, I know what that means. That means they're trying to flog me something. There are different emails that I can tell you what they are that are basically going to try to flog me something, okay? The analogy I'm trying to draw here is I've learned not to reply, okay? The point that I was raising about Ben's post, my son's post, was that he entered into a really interesting conversation with this guy who was basically going, look, I've been trying to contact you for some time. I really think that I've got a product or service that you could enable. And Ben was going, well, yeah, but the trouble is you're getting lost in the noise, which I totally agree with, yeah? And he was coming back and going, yeah, but you didn't even have the courtesy of replying, which is exactly as that I'm doing. And you think, yeah, it is difficult, isn't it? Because there clearly may be somebody out there that's got a product or service that they think that I could genuinely benefit from. I'm sure there is. The difficulty is how in the hell do they contact me? Because the danger is, going back to the theme of this podcast, is I'm ghosting them. They just can't get a reply from me because I've learned that no matter what you do, and I've tried, let me stress, I've tried saying no thanks, not today, thanks but no thanks, to try to be civil about it. And I would say 50% of the people that I reply to with that come back again, try to pitch me again on their product or service. And some of them I've ended up getting quite cross with. I've got, you know, and depending on the mood I'm in, going, what part of no don't you understand, you know? And do you really think that this is a good way to start a relationship by hassling me? But it's all part of that same concept, isn't it, of ghosting and ignoring people, which is, I guess, the theme of today.
I don't know that I would call that ghosting in particular, because I think that ghosting implies there's a pre-existing relationship. But it's definitely a form of non-response. It's not replying. For me, it goes, again, back to these norms, these conversational norms that we have. And when is it appropriate to respond versus not? I get solicitations via email sometimes for products and services that people want to sell me. And I don't feel particularly bad about not responding to those, because from my perspective, the imposition was from them contacting me in the first place. Like,
sure.
To expect a reply to a sales call is to expect a lot from somebody. And so the fact that you sometimes do respond and engage with folks, I think it shows a lot of empathy on your part. I think that there are contexts where a non-response is more normative. It's more typical. And contexts where it's not. What's most interesting to me is as these things shift, let me give you another context where I've started to hear about ghosting. It's become very common for people seeking a job to report going through an interview process, sometimes multiple rounds, 3, 4, 5 rounds, and then being ghosted by the company.
Yeah, and that's totally wrong. I've made a point of never doing that. I find that appalling.
This, I think everyone would have agreed 20, 25 years ago, is absolutely unacceptable. It's rude. Sure. It's terrible. It seems to be becoming a norm, not for everybody, but for a lot of companies, this is fine. We're like, you know, we're the one who need to fill the job. People can jump through hoops for us. And so if we suddenly don't need the job, well, that's not, we want to avoid that confrontation, that unpleasant conversation, telling somebody that they're not. So we'll just ignore them. And there's nothing you can do. What's interesting to me is we're now starting to see the reverse of that, which is employers complaining increasingly about employees or prospective employees not showing up for interviews, interviewing several rounds, and then they start ghosting the potential employer. Like they decide they don't want to work for this company. And so they don't say that. They just disappear. Employees, you know, as in your case, just stopping working. So there's a lot of these norms that are being renegotiated all at the same time, facilitated through the different ways that we're communicating with each other. And it's not settled down yet. The things that were perceived as very rude up until recently, some people at least have started to potentially not think that they're rude or maybe not caring that they are, which is all very, very interesting.
Makes you wonder whether it sort of goes back to just the like the not replying on a WhatsApp message or with to your mates. I mean, if you can't even reply to your mates,
yeah,
then who can you reply to? And I understand that sometimes people forget and all the rest of it, but I could tell you, you know, here are two or three people that virtually do it all the bloody time. These are the people that are going to reply to you straight away. These are the group of people that aren't. And whether it is, the interesting bit is whether it is just because it is. So it's interesting, as you were talking, I was thinking to myself, I don't feel so obliged to, or not so obliged, at all obliged to contact anybody where I've got an email from. But I feel more obliged when someone has contacted me through LinkedIn.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay. So email, it's like, it's just masses and there's, you know, I wouldn't trust anything on bloody email anymore. But LinkedIn feels a bit more personal. Now, I don't know whether that's because I'm on it a lot or what, yeah, whatever else. And if I now think about some of the other platforms that I use, if somebody contacted me over some of them, I would feel more obliged to reply. But I guess to a certain extent, it depends who they are. Because if they're somebody that I didn't recognize, then I probably would just steer clear of it because I get so conscious of fraud and all the rest of it, basically.
That is super interesting. Yeah, so you and I have talked about this. In fact, you've chided me for my my lax behavior on LinkedIn. I'm tenured in my job. I will probably never look for another job again for the rest of my life. And so LinkedIn, I realize I'm in a unique position here, but LinkedIn is a way that I kind of keep loose track of former students, but mostly I'm not on there at all. It's kind of a dead platform for me.
We've agreed that you need to change that.
But I know for you, it is a much more active platform and you're on there a lot and you interact with people a lot on the platform. After you've said that, it does make sense to me that that is a more intimate platform for you. And so you might feel more an obligation to respond. It feels more conversational to you. I hadn't considered that. And that is a really interesting insight.
Well, I think the other thing is someone has taken the... So the interesting thing for me is, and if you started to attack it from going back to my son's post and the conversation that he was having with the chap that was basically saying, well, you know, I think I've got this product or service. If you go back and go, well, how should you approach someone? Okay. So rather than just write quick question, Colin, which you know is never going to be quick and you know they're just after selling you something. I think the issue for me is you've got to find out more about the individual. You've got to find out more about how you think that your product or service would benefit them and more about do your research effectively on what the individual is like and what they're likely to respond to, et cetera. And I think that that's the area that people struggle with because, to be honest, they just don't want to spend the time. I think what they want is they do a hit of 50 million bloody emails out to someone. And I'm convinced that all this stuff's done by bots in some way anyway. And it's not personalized. And it's the people who have followed you, who would say, hey, I was listening to you on you and Ryan talk about this on the podcast, et cetera, that I feel much more obliged to
and Ryan go and have sounded a conversation really intelligent, with. But he's not responding to LinkedIn. So I'll ask you, Colin.
But what that takes is that takes more of an investment for them from their side to be able to come and start talking to you. And clearly, I guess it goes down to the numbers, doesn't it? Which is I can either blast out 1,000 emails and I'm going to get a 1% response rate, or I'm only going to send out 10 and relying on a 10% response rate or whatever it may be. So anyway. Let's take a step back and do our usual bit at this point, mate, which is, so if you are trying to contact someone and you don't want to be ghosted, yeah, and the loosest sense of ghosting, then what would you say people should do?
I mean, I would think about this in a couple of different ways. At its broadest sense, I would give frequent consideration to the norms of communication. So like what are people doing now across these various ways that people communicate? And I still think it's less likely that you will be ghosted if there's some kind of in-person relationship, just because those norms are a little bit different. And so are there different ways of communicating with somebody that are more likely to get a response? As you said, for you, email and LinkedIn are very different. And I think that that's probably true for a lot of people. So it won't always be LinkedIn, but there will be some modes of communication that are more personal that will evoke a different set of response norms. And so give some thought to that. The other thing I will say is, as these norms shift, there may be opportunities for you to distinguish yourself in business by adhering to an older set of norms.
Sure.
I remember when I was interviewing for academic jobs, we have a real weird market. You go and you interview to school and you meet a bunch of people and all this happens within the course of a few weeks. We have kind of a market season because the academic school year starts at a certain time. So everybody's hiring at about the same time. I did not realize that the norm was to send out thank you emails to each person that you met with afterwards. Like I'm not a thank you note kind of a person. I didn't realize.
Sure.
It got back to me that a school that was otherwise interested in making me an offer was considering not making me an offer because I hadn't sent out anything. And so they interpreted that as a signal that I was not interested.
You were ghosting them.
I was still there. I wasn't following the protocols because I didn't know them, and nobody had told me that that was what was expected. So you can really distinguish yourself by being a little bit old fashioned in some ways and actually reaching out to these potential hires and saying, look, the line dried up. We thought we were going to be able to open this position, but things have changed. We're hoping that in the next 6 months, it'll open back up, and instead of just ghosting them. And what you're doing is you are maintaining that potential relationship for later. You know, people don't want to hear bad news, but they would rather hear that people also like closure. And so by not ghosting people, by kind of adhering to these norms, by sending out the thank you notes, apparently, being a little bit old fashioned can in some ways really reap relational benefits and reputational benefits. If you become known as a place that doesn't ghost people, that really is responsive, that can be really great for your relationship or your reputation, even if it used to be the norm, even if everybody used to do this. So I would consider that as well.
Yeah. And the only thing I would add to the conversation is just do as you would be done by. I go back to what I've said to people in the past. It doesn't take a minute, you know, just to say, no, thanks. Yes, whatever. But also be aware that I'm not going to reply to every bloody message I get on LinkedIn unless you turn around and say something to me that is appropriate because it's clear that you've done some form of research. So let me be clear. If anybody ever wants to write to us, Ran or me, on LinkedIn or wherever it may be and go, hey, you've listened to the podcast and blah, 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 and you've got an opinion, I reply to everyone that I get that where somebody's asked me for that. Because it feels like they know me and I want to keep that relationship going, and we absolutely do welcome the feedback that we get from people. But I think it is important that you do as you would be done by and walk in other people's shoes, which is the main thing. So hope that's been of use. If you've got any further suggestions on this or any other topics that you'd like to be covered, then please send us a message. You can do that on contact@beyondphilosophy.com. That's contact@beyondphilosophy.com. And we look forward to talking to you next week. Okay. Cheers, everybody. See ya. Thanks very much for listening to the show today. We really hope you've enjoyed it. And if you have, it would be really great if you could leave us a review.
This has been The Intuitive Customer with Colin Shaw and Professor Ryan Hamilton. But it doesn't end here. Just go to beyondphilosophy.com/podcast to find all of our shows, access free tools and resources, and subscribe, won't you? That way you'll never miss a show. That's beyondphilosophy.com/podcasts. We look forward to talking with you next time on The Intuitive Customer.